Good morning. We welcome you to worship here at College Park. Thank you for coming this morning. We'd like to get started. The way we do that, we'd like to find out who is in worship today. And there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. If we invite you, members and guests, if you could take that pew pad, write your name down, give us any contact information, check the appropriate boxes, that would help us find out who is in worship. We do ask once it gets to the end of the pew, everybody's had a chance to fill it out, send it back to where it got started. We do ask that first person to tear out the pages that were used today so we could find out who was in worship. We have lots of going on, so I'm going to go quickly through these. Children's time today. We're asking all the kids to come join me right down here during children's time. That's right after the first hymn. Speaking of children. Next Sunday morning, there's a very important event during Sunday school for our preschoolers, our children, and their families. We're inviting all the families and the preschoolers and the children to come for a family Sunday school celebration. So at 9:45, we're going to be meeting upstairs in the new worship room for the children. Did I say 9:45? Is that right, Miss Leanne? 9:45, upstairs, top level education building. It's where the children normally go for worship during the Sunday school hour. It's going to be a big day next week, and we're looking forward to our families doing Sunday school together. Let's see. Today is an important day for our summer mission project. There's a question and answer session about the potential site of our church-wide summer mission project. That happens right after church today in Adult 1, which was directly below us. Let's see. Brandy, come on.
Good morning. First of all, we want to say thank you so much. Last week, our Muffins for Missions, our GAs, raised $443.78 for Annie Armstrong and World Missions. So thank you all very much. And you will be getting more information soon in the mail and through the newsletter about our spring mission project, which is working with the Lily's Friends Foundation. And this morning, what the girls are doing on Wednesday nights is learning Bible verses and repeating them to the GA leaders, and we check them off as they learn them. So this morning, Sarah and Lael want to recite for you some of the verses they've learned.
Everyone should use their gift to serve others. 1 Peter 4:10.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28:19a.
Please support Lily's Friends by supporting your GAs.
Thank you, guys.
Good job, ladies. Good job. A couple more announcements. There, I meant to say this when we were talking about the summer mission trip, church-wide mission project. There will be a called conference next Sunday for the purpose of voting on that proposed new site. So I want you to make a note of that. There's more details inside your bulletin about that called conference. Mary.
Say just a couple brief announcements. The first one, handbells, we're meeting at 3 today or shortly thereafter, depending on how dinner and a show goes. And then I wanted to let everybody know, you should hopefully have been reading your newsletter and gathering information from that. This is the first Sunday of Love at Last Sight. And Love at Last Sight is a 5-week emphasis that we are going on as a church. And there is a 4-week study that goes along with it. Now, the studies will be Sunday night at 6 o'clock and Wednesday night at 6:30. 6 o'clock on Sunday, we'll meet down in Adult 4 area, one of those classrooms down there. And the Wednesday night, we'll meet in conjunction somewhere near about the coffee house up in the education building on the 3rd floor. And Jason is teaching the Sunday class. Karen Valentine will be teaching the class on Wednesday nights. Now, those classes will not start until next Sunday and the following Wednesday. So if you're thinking, I've not read a book, I've not done anything to go to this study, nobody has yet. Well, except for maybe our teachers. But and if you're thinking, I need to get that book, they should be in by Tuesday. So if you haven't read, really, you're okay because you are not behind. The books did not quite get here in time. So if you would like to participate in that, there are a couple of sign-up sheets at the Welcome Center, and books will be available this week in the office, and I invite you to come by and to grab one of those, and it should be an interesting study, and I think one that will be of benefit to you individually and to us as a church.
Thank you, Mary. Two final announcements regarding our dinner and a show. Last night was the first dinner and a show our youth are putting on for raising money for youth missions. Our youth will be headed somewhere internationally next year. And to prepare for that financially, we're hosting a dinner and a show. Last night, we had the first edition, or the first performance. Today at lunch, we will have a matinee performance. I tell you that to say we have 20 tickets that have just become available, extra seating. We had such demand last night, we found 20 extra tickets for today. Here's the catch. $15. It's a deal. $15, you get dinner, well, lunch, and a show. And it is a fabulous meal and an even better show. It's $15. The hitch is we had ordered a certain amount of food, and so you may or may not get your choice of meat. It's either pork or chicken, but you'll have a fabulous meal one way or the other. If you're interested in doing that, we're going to sell those at the door. I think we've already sold two of those, just not in the last 10 seconds I've been speaking. 18, I forgot about those. 18 are left to fill up the dinner and show. So we will do that right before we head in. As far as dinner and show goes, if you have tickets and you're headed for today's show at 12:15, at the end of the service today, we're going to ask you just to stay in the sanctuary. And so that those who are unable to attend today, they can head on to lunch. And I promise, dinner show is going to have a much better lunch than anybody else is going to have today. But we're going to let everybody at dinner show stay here. Everybody else will leave. The youth will come and get those who are in the sanctuary for dinner and a show so that we can kind of keep the traffic down to a minimum. Okay, I think that's all the announcements. Anything else? We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. And we thank you for coming. And we are especially blessed by your presence. You have given us some information on the pew pads just a moment ago. If you're a guest, we'd like for you to raise your hand. Our ushers are going to come down the aisles now. They would like to give you some information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor, as well as a little bit of the story of College Park and a newsletter that gets you up to date about what's happening in our church. So we're especially blessed by your presence this day. Our lives are often whirlwinds, checking off to-do lists. A lot of people have been checking off a lot of to-do lists this week. Family stuff, work stuff, home stuff. And then something happens in the middle of it, and our lives get turned upside down. What are our lives based on? If they're based on Christ, the to-do lists seem to fade away. And when the difficult days come, God's love lasts forever and sustains us. That is why we worship. Because He is here. Let us prepare for worship. Pray with me. Father, it's because you are here that we have a purpose to live and a purpose to worship. Because you are here, we call this place holy. We call this place blessed. Thank you for meeting us. Thank you for entering this sanctuary. May everything that is done in this place today be done to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite all the kids, come on down, come on down. Who's on the top row? I'm going to be on the top row. I'm on the top row. All right. Come on, Jack. All right, y'all got to, are y'all in a place you can see? All right, we're going to play, oh, we'll wait. There's a special game I want to play this morning, okay? I spy... Okay, we'll play that game. I spy with my little eye something in this room that tells me how much I love Miss Jennifer. Go. The Bible? Well, that's it. That's not what I'm thinking of. The what? The ring? How did you guess that?
It's a wedding ring.
It's a... But what does it mean?
It means that you love Jennifer.
It means you're married.
It means I'm married, okay.
You're married and you'll
take care of each other and you'll love each other with all your heart. Let's pray. You're exactly right. When you go to a wedding, what you see is the two people, when they get married, they swap rings, right? Now, ring is in the shape of, what is that shape?
A circle.
Okay, where does the circle start and where does it end?
Nowhere.
What do you mean?
We don't know where it starts.
It just keeps going and going and going and going?
Yeah, unless you cut it in half.
Oh, we don't want to cut it in half, do we? But here's the thing. What Catherine just said, it's a reminder of when I put this ring on, that I will never stop loving Miss Jennifer.
Yeah.
that I will always commit to doing exactly what she needs, and that she will forgive me when I don't, and that we love each other forever. When she and I met, we had to get to know each other. She had to realize what she was getting into. All right. I had to pay her dad money. Just kidding. But when I remember the day that she and I got married, and she gave me this ring as a symbol of how much she loves me, and I gave her one as a sign of how much I love her. Today, Pastor Raymond's going to talk about that very, very special love that never, ever, ever ends. Can you listen for that? It's very important, because really, the only way I know how to love Miss Jennifer forever and ever and ever is because God loved me first, and He taught me how to love. And that's what Pastor Raymond's going to talk about. Will you listen real close for that? Will you listen real close? Let's pray together. God, we thank You for the love that lasts forever and ever and ever. And that comes from You. And You teach us how to love each other. Whether it's a mom and a dad, or whether it's a brother and a sister, or whether it's best friends, You teach us how to love forever. Help us to do that today, to show the people in our lives how much we love them by how we talk to them, things we do for them. Let us look like You to everybody we see. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a good day.
Today is the first Sunday of Lent. Ash Wednesday was on Wednesday, beginning this period of Lent as we journey to the cross, as we consider the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, and as we experience this time of confession and repentance and redemption. As part of Lent, we're called to confession. Hear these words as a call to confession. These are the words of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Let us share together a prayer of confession as printed in your order of worship. Let's pray in unison. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and what we have left undone. We have not loved You with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In Your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us amend what we are and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in Your will and walk in Your ways to the glory of Your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And an assurance of pardon from Ezekiel 36. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh.
And looking at stewardship today would be not inappropriate to not mention that our youth are going on this big show to raise money for a mission trip that will be fantastic for them and fantastic for the people that they will be serving. And if you look at this group and you look what they've done over the years, to having a half a dozen youth from several years ago that have gone into the ministry to youth today and what they're doing, you never know what your money may reach out for and reach towards somebody that nobody knows. And these youth are reaching out and serving God and doing things that are so maybe out of their comfort zone to reach others for God. So gladly, with great pleasure, give of your money, knowing that it's going for God's service. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for the beauty of this day and the bright sunshine and the warmth of spring coming forth. And dear God, continue to bless this church, bless the many ministries of this church, and help those that need that funding and need that service, for they are in so much need of our care and our love. And dear God, continue to bless us as we move forward and guide our youth, especially as they go forth in their life and doing your service. In your most gracious name, amen.
Thank you. A little earlier in the week, I was trying to figure out a nice introduction to introduce the topic for today. And as fate would have it, the television provided that for me. The news had gone off. And one of these little shows came on. It was either like Insider Edition or Access Hollywood or one of those kind of things, you know, where they just kind of scrape under the rock and see what kind of scum they can drag out. And one of them was talking about one of these high profile, Hollywood marriages that had lasted a sum total of about 12 days or something like that. And it just left me. I'm sitting there going, really? I mean, did they not see that coming? I mean, you know, is it possible to build relationships that last the test of time? Can love last anymore? The subtitle maybe for the sermon today should be, what do you do when the sizzle begins to fizzle? I thought, you know, because you look at all this stuff and you go, can you really build relationships anymore? Can you build friendships where the last time you see each other, you are closer than the first time? And it makes you wonder. And so I thought, well, you know, we're beginning this new series. It will be entitled Love at Last Sight. And I hope that in part it will be for you a relationship revolution, if you will. Because in the next 30 days, we're going to look at how to experience a great adventure, really. An adventure in growing and deepening your closest relationships to where they are something that you never dreamed possible. That is the Love at Last Sight challenge. So I encourage you, be with us for the next 4 weeks if you can. Because there is nothing that gives more satisfaction than a good relationship, right? I mean, there's nothing that gives more satisfaction than that. But there's also nothing that hurts more than a relationship gone bad. And we're there for each other. We've got to be there for each other. And I say that, you know, that there are people that you work with. There are people in your neighborhoods that they're hurting too. We all get stung by relationships. And so look out there. Take this week, look out and see someone that you can bring to be a part of this study. It will be life-changing. It really will. When you put yourself in God's house and bring yourself under His Word, it truly is life-changing. Do that this week. Find someone to bring with you. Because in a day when so many people wonder if love can really last, you know, can marriages really go the distance? Can friendships go deeper and stronger beyond the superficial? I believe it's time for us as the church to give a strong word of testimony saying, yes, they can. Absolutely. They can do that. For those of you that are not married, and we'll be kind of bouncing around between marriage and friendships and other kind of relationships, but if you're not married, I want to remind you of the story of the eagle. I don't know if you're aware of this. It is true. Eagles in courting play this game of tag. What happens is the male and the female, humans do that too, by the way. They play this game of tag. But male and female eagles chase each other around for days. And eventually the female gets finally bored and decides she wants to play a new game. And it's a game that eagles have played for centuries. The way she does it, she swoops down and she picks up a small stick in her talons. And then she flies up to somewhere between 8 and 10,000 feet. And then she begins to fly in figure eights. Okay? And the male goes up and follows her. And then she drops the stick. Well, if the male eagle is a gentleman, he does what? He goes and gets it. Yeah. He swoops down and catches it in midair and takes it up to her. And of course, she'll have nothing to do with it. She just kind of ignores him. And what she'll do is she'll swoop down and pick up a larger stick and come back up to about 5,000 feet and starts doing figure eights. And then eventually she drops that one. Well, the male drops the one he has, swoops down and gets that one and brings it back. And this goes on and on and on until finally she's at about 500 feet. And she drops what amounts to basically a log. And the poor male, he has to swoop down and catch that. And if he catches it, he's okay. But if at any time he fails to catch the stick, she's done with him. She'll chase him off. She's finished with him. But if he catches it, if he's successful, he's proved that he will be a fit husband. and the eagles kind of make their vows, if you will. And the way that they do that is they fly up to between 10 and 15,000 feet. And then they lock talons and they begin spiraling downward in the air. It is incredible to see. We saw a video of it in early service. Go on Google and type in eagle mating ritual. I think that's what it did, really. And it gives you this video. It is unbelievable to see them spiraling down. It's remarkable. There's also a video over there of what happens when they don't let go in time. Yeah, it's pretty dramatic. You don't want to show the kids that one. But anyway, but it's quite remarkable. And it's kind of like they, at that point, they say their vows. It is this ultimate engagement of trust as they spiral down. It kind of puts, you know, human weddings to shame. Ours are a little bit boring compared to this thing. You know, they say their vows and then they remain together for life. That is a death do us part kind of relationship that eagles have. So what is the lesson that we can learn from the eagles in courting? Someone in the early service says you can't please a woman. That's not the lesson we can learn here. The lesson is that relationships of trust, are probably the most valuable thing that we have. A relationship of trust with God and a relationship of trust with other people. And because I've used the eagle illustration, our minds may automatically kind of jump to the marriage relationship. But we need to protect and treasure all of our relationships. Love unconditionally. Accept each other completely. And then you say, well, Raymond, what if a young lady comes to you and says, you know, Raymond, I'm dating this guy and he's got a ton of issues. I mean, he really has got a ton of issues, but I know God wants me to love him unconditionally, and so I'm going to marry him. What would you say? I would say, no, he doesn't want you to marry him. God is probably going to tell you to dump the guy. I'm assuming God's mind here. But God wants the best for you in a marriage relationship, so lose that loser. Now I'm sounding like a dad. I have an almost 16-year-old daughter. That would be my advice to her. If my son asked me the same question, I would give him the same advice. Because there's a distinction in relationship, and it's an important one. Hear me out. I'm not saying don't love people. We need to love all people unconditionally as God loves us. But that does not mean we should enable people by blindly showing approval of sinful lifestyles or destructive lifestyles or behaviors that we know do not glorify God. Amen? We should not do that. Lovingly encourage them because we all have our faults. None of us are perfect. We all have struggles. We have weaknesses. But once you say those marriage vows, you're saying that you will accept and love them unconditionally, completely, and ask for God to give you the power to love in that way. Only God can help you do that. I think that's the lesson of the eagle. It's so important to remember. I'm going to give you three stages. This is a gross oversimplification of relationships and how they develop, okay? So understand, it's not in a book anywhere. It's my gross oversimplification. Stage one, love at first sight. Love at first sight has a whole lot to do with infatuation and very little to do with reality, okay? I know most couples sometimes, they may actually enter the marriage relationship still in the infatuation stage. And in the infatuation stage, the candle, the unity candle, is burning so bright. It is actually burning so bright you probably need a whole pack of unity candles just to absorb the heat. I mean it's hot stuff. And they're on fire. It's in that stage that all of a sudden they see how similar they are. See, he's just like me. He likes pizza. I like pizza. He has two eyes. I have two eyes. He has two ears. I have two ears. We're made for each other. We're perfect. I found the perfect soulmate. Stage two. In this stage, you're a little more discriminating. And all of a sudden, in the second look stage, you're like, well, maybe they're not really that much like me. Maybe they compliment me. We'll go with that term. They compliment, they kind of complete me. And a lot of couples go there. I mean, you're attracted to someone not like you, but someone that kind of completes you. But if you're not careful, what can happen is you start looking at the differences and you're going, why? That's annoying. I really don't like that characteristic. I don't like that behavior. And if you're not careful, you can become so obsessed with the differences in who you are that it extinguishes the passion flame that was burning in the love at first sight stage. You know, we don't want to go there. The idea is to look and to understand and to communicate about our differences and how they complement each other. So it's how we react to that. That's the second stage. First stage, love at first sight. Second stage, second look. Third stage is what I want to call the last sight. And it kind of fits with the theme of where we're going. The last sight stage. Every marriage has a last sight. Every relationship has a last sight. The question is, will it be love at last sight, or will it be don't let the door knock you down sight? Okay? And the question for us is, you know, as we look at love at last sight, how can we experience that? I'm quite certain probably that many experience love at first sight, but I believe that every single one of us, every single one of us can experience love at last sight. So this series will be for everyone. It's for everyone. If you're single, maybe it will help you learn how to move from infatuation to a more mature love. If you're married, you need to know how to build a lasting relationship in a way that you can still keep that spark alive, still keep the flame alive with your spouse. So whether it's a relationship with a family or friends, you need to learn how to be really connected to have a great relationship. So great relationships, we understand it's not just about feelings. It's about time spent. It's about connecting with people, time and effort through the good times, through the bad times, working all those issues out. It's kind of ironic. We live in a day where we have never been more connected technology-wise, right? Think about it. Think about it. Just text messages, which I kind of started to preach on Wednesday night, and I backed away from it. You know, text messages, Facebook, Twitter, all of these things. So we've never been more technologically connected than we are today. So why is it that sociologists and psychologists tell us that relationships are suffering more now than they ever have? You see, you can have 500 friends on Facebook, but not a single friend that you can sit and talk to face to face. Social networking is fine. I'm not bashing social networking. We actually use Facebook quite a bit to promote the recreation service and the youth ministry and other things that are going on. And it's a great tool. But if we're not careful, what I'm saying is it could easily turn into a substitute for real meaningful relationships. Actually sitting down and talking with someone, seeing their body language, responding to them appropriately, really connecting. Don't take the cheap substitute. Love is what you develop over months and years of working through things together. Love at last sight will challenge you with practical skills on how you can experience deeper, more meaningful relationships. That's where we're going. And if we want to learn about love at last sight, I think there's no better way to start off than with a key passage of Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says this, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." So the highest goal that we have this side of heaven is to love like Jesus Christ. Agreed? That's the highest goal that we have. This side of heaven is to love like Jesus Christ. That is a lifelong journey. That is a growing experience, growing meaningful relationships. You know, because relationships, you've heard me say this before, relationships is all you get to take. That's all you get to take with you. Everything you see around you except relationship, everything will burn, everything is gone. The only thing you take with you into eternity is relationships. That's it. And Jesus shows us how to live a life of love. That's why we're told in the passage from Ephesians to imitate him. Follow the example of Christ. Learn to live a life of love, a love that truly lasts. You know, he paints this portrait of what a relationship, you know, a godly relationship looks like. How do we have these things? Relationship, they're an art. They're an art form. And the master artist paints for us a clear picture of love. And that's Jesus Christ. When you look at his life, his character, and relationships that he shared with his Father and with other people, you see this perfect picture of love emerge. So we're going to look at that picture for just a minute, because Christ's love demonstrates four arts that we're going to look at in the next 4 weeks. Okay, this is just kind of a preview, if you will, of the four arts that we're going to look at for the next 4 weeks. The first art is the art of being all there. Okay, now I don't mean in a mental capacity. He's not all there. What I mean is when you're with someone, you are truly all there. You're fully engaged with them, full attention. All right. Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We know that from Scripture. And you never have to worry about Jesus not being all there for you. We know that. Following his death and resurrection, he gave assurances to his disciples, which includes us. And he told them in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." He's always with us. He wanted them to know, he wants us to know, that he said, be sure of this. Be sure of this. I'm with you. Never doubt his presence. So during the Love at Life, Love at Last Sight series, we're going to give you a practical tool. Next week, we're going to talk about being all there. And, you know, you've seen the little bracelets. We had some for 1 month to live. This one for this emphasis is orange. And it says, just quite simply, be all there. It's a reminder to us as we engage people in relationships to truly be fully present as you work on those relationships. That's the first art, being all there. The second art is the art of acting intentionally. And no one was more intentional than Jesus Christ. He knew exactly why he came to earth. He knew that his mission of love was to reach a lost and dying world. To reach a world that's separated from God. The Bible tells us in Luke 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." Yeah. His mission was to seek and to save. He knew that we were too lost to ever find him, so he came to find us. And that's what love is. He demonstrated his love intentionally through serving. Serving other people. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." He was intentional in his fulfilling of his mission. When his disciples and when other people tried to push him out, say, "Hey, be the king, man. Free us from Rome," whatever. When they tried to push him out, he said, no. No, he had no part of it. He would not let him. Not once did he get distracted from his mission of love. He didn't pull off. He did not get preoccupied. He stayed with it. The resolve teaches me to act intentionally. If I want my relationships to look like his, I need to be intentional. I need to take the first step in relationships. Not wait for other people to reach out to me, but I should look for ways to serve other people, to help them. Acts of kindness. Demonstrate my love for them. And I have to refuse to get distracted or preoccupied. Give my full attention. And it's difficult. I know. I understand. Love at Last Sight is a love like Jesus. It's an intentional love. It's a love that acts, not just reacts to others. And in this series, we're going to get intentional. The third art in Love at Last Sight, the third week we'll be talking about the art of risking awkwardness. No love risks more awkwardness than Christ's love. Think about it. Can you imagine God becoming man? Talk about awkward. That may be the definition, the truest definition. God taking on human flesh. Awkward. But that's exactly what he did. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, "So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we've seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." Because Jesus took that risk, we see more clearly what God is like. God in the person of Jesus Christ. God in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "Without question, this is the great mystery of our faith. Christ was revealed in a human body." I don't know about you, but I am so thankful that God risked the awkwardness of coming to my world so that I could go to his. Amen? It defies understanding. Because his love risks the awkwardness of coming here, we have a bridge to heaven. His love teaches me to risk awkwardness in my relationships with others. And in the following weeks, in Love at Last Sight, hopefully you will understand more fully what it means how to risk awkwardness to develop deeper relationships. And then the last week, we'll talk about the art of letting go. And I'll be honest with you, a moment of confession. This is probably the hardest one for me. Letting go. But because to love like Christ, I have to learn to let go of some things that have prevented my relationships from being all that God meant for them to be. Understand. When you look at the life of Christ, when you look close enough, you see that what he let go of in order to demonstrate God's love for us. And one of the most profound rights that he gave up was his right to divine privileges. Philippians 2 verses 6 and 7 says, "Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges." Think of it. Jesus loved you and me so much that he let go of his divine privileges. He could have remained at the side of the Father, but he loved us so much that he released those privileges and he came and he served us and he showed us how to serve one another and to be a ransom for our sins. I can't wrap my mind around that. I cannot understand that kind of love. He also let go of the hurt. Ring a bell? Anyone ever hurt you? He let go of the hurt that others had inflicted on him. The Bible tells us in Luke 23, verse 33 and 34, and we know this passage, but hear it, truly hear it. "When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.'" I cannot fathom that kind of love. But as a believer, I am called to imitate that kind of love. To let that kind of love be a part of who I am. To be more like Christ. And if I want to be more like Christ, I got to let go of some things. I have to let go of my rights. I have to let go of control. I have to let go of hurt. I have to let go of insecurities. I have to let go of pride. I have to let go of selfishness, unrealistic expectations of the past, of guilt, all of those things. And there's probably 100 more. That's just the top list that I was working on. I have to let go of those. And the only way that I can successfully let go of those is to take hold of Christ. I need his presence. I need his power in my life if I want to live a life of love. And that's why Love at Last Sight is a lifelong journey, because we're not going to get there this side of heaven. But as we grow each day in our relationships, we will experience stronger, deeper, more fulfilling relationships. That's our goal. Our key passage, again, it tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. And when I follow that example, I learn to let go of my selfishness. And in turn, serve others. I learn to live a life of love. Search your heart. Search your heart. I'll search my heart. This week, our goal is to open your heart and allow God to show you how He wants you, how He wants me to live out that kind of love. His kind of love. How do we live it out? How do we live it out in the relationships that we will have this week? When we stand in just a moment to sing, I pray that you would completely open your heart to God. Let Him speak to you, show you, not just now, but in the week as it unfolds, how He wants you to live out that kind of love. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we need your help because we know that we're imperfect. We're failing constantly as human beings. But Father, we know that your grace is sufficient, your strength, your power is sufficient to pick us up, make us new creations in Christ, lift us up, teach us how to walk again, how to be strong in our faith, how to develop stronger relationships with you and with each other. God, we pray that as we grow stronger to you and to each other, that others would see that, that it would literally spread throughout this whole community. People seeing this lighthouse on the corner of Pole and Ransom Road and wanting to be a part of it. God, we love you. We thank you for the time that we've had this morning to worship and to learn from you. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I don't have a relationship with God, but I've got relationships with other people. Well, you've got half the equation, but the most important part is missing. You need to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, His Son. So in a moment, we're going to stand and sing. And I invite you, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's the most important step. That is the most important thing you'll do in your lifetime. That is priority number one. I'll be glad to share with you how you can have that kind of relationship. If you're here and you say, well, I have a relationship with God. I am a believer. But I really need work on this horizontal thing, these relationships between me and other people. That's why you're here today. God knew you were going to be here from the beginning of time, and this is your day to kind of settle that with Him. Talk with Him, pray with Him. The altar will be open if you want to come pray here. I'll be glad to talk with you and pray with you if that's what you'd like. Whatever it is, settle that with God this morning. And if you're here and you say, I like this body of believers, I can tell you it is a body that cares for one another. We're not perfect. We have our mistakes. We have our slip-ups in relationships. But by and large, we really do love and encourage one another. And if you'd like to be a part of this membership in a, quote, official capacity by church membership, there's many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. remember Jeff's instructions. If you are going to the dinner and the show, if you would, after the benediction and the response, just have a seat and relax for a couple minutes, and the youth will be coming to get you. The rest of you, be sure and speak to one another, encourage one another as we go from this place. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for the blessings of today. God, you've blessed us in so many ways. We pray that we would be a blessing to you by the way that we serve one another. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.